Game Guy fans, today's Monday, August 24th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're doing well and had a great weekend. I know I did, keeping up with all the high school football stuff from around our state. It's kind of like college football. The guys on Four Quarter Friday were talking about it Saturday. By the way, they do have a Saturday show now, each and every Saturday morning. Phil and I'll have the tailgate show on Gamecock game days, and then you'll be able to catch a Four Quarter Friday recap of all the high school action. I know when I was, out there in fan land, I always like to listen to, catch up on the high school stuff in the mornings of a college game day, and then turn my focus to the Gamecocks and whoever else. So check that out. But been busy doing that. There's more games tonight. There's partial games being rewarded. It's certainly interesting, but focus was also on mainly the Gamecock scrimmage this past weekend and also some roster building news. South Carolina adds a cornerback from the transfer portal late. I mean, I have my opinions about this lawsuit and the fifth year thing and colleges adding players that were waived from pro training camps just a week ago that played in preseason NFL games. I think Daquan Wright going back to LSU. LSU just decided they don't care about the rules, or not the rules, but they're not violating any rules, but the fact that there are no rules. I just think it makes me kind of sick to my stomach to think about, a team getting that type of advantage over a player, with a player that was out of eligibility, that's taking a shot at the NFL. And then all of a sudden some judge somewhere decides he could leave, he could just come back. And I don't get that. Carolina benefited from it though. You can't be upset about that. Ethan Johnson, I don't believe was in a training camp. He was at App State last year. He actually stayed at App State his entire career, played for Dowell Loggins last season, started 13 games at cornerback, was all Sun Belt third team, 13 pass breakups, tied for second nationally in pass breakups statistically, 44 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss. His advanced metrics are just okay. Matt Anderson will have a full breakdown on thebigspur.com of this. There's some stats that maybe on that end don't look great, but coaches seem to like him at Carolina, also in the Sun Belt. In 2023, he was second team all Sun Belt, started all 14 games. Good tackler, good open field tackler, physical player, a lot of pass deflections, smart guy. I was on the AFCA Good Works team. The Werfel Trophy list, the Campbell Trophy for academics. He's also from Huff High School in Cornelius, North Carolina, where Josh Dobson, who's a defensive back, five-star player, we got to see this past weekend against Northwestern. He had a pick in that game. Way to go, Josh. And Davion Jones are both playing. And, of course, Samari Matthews last year. South Carolina with Huff, they're probably going to recruit that place every year. So, this kid went to high school there. And like I said, he's been at App State the whole time. He didn't hit the portal, anything like that. He gets the fifth year as part of the lawsuit. And so Carolina has another player, veteran player at corner that's played in 47 career games in college football for App State. And was one of the, at least according to the all Sun Belt teams, one of the better corners in that league. So when you start talking about depth at corner, and this was probably nothing against DeMarcus Leach or Kazi Barnes, but when you have an opportunity to kind of strengthen things, and Carolina does run, they'll play three corners in a game. You don't want to wear Swain and Collier out. This guy walks right in and can contend for that third spot with some of the other guys because the depth at corner was – or is young and inexperienced. Kazi Barnes had a heck of a camp. He had a really good scrimmage this past weekend. He's been good since the spring, but he's still a freshman. Freshman corners at a position where you got to have a short memory. You can't make mistakes. A veteran guy like this can really come in and help. So way to be resourceful on it. I think that if other schools are gonna get out there and parade pro players back, then taking a guy that wasn't, that was just a guy that got the other, the extra year, the 5 years. I think if that can help your football team, go ahead and do it. So hats off to Darren Usher and Shane Beamer for making this happen. I'm curious to see how Ethan Johnson performs. I also think this, and we keep harping on this, and we're less than 2 weeks till kickoff, and I hope it doesn't come back to bite anybody. Another IE, a lackluster performance in the first game, because you can't take anybody too lightly. But again, the first two games are games Carolina should win. And you have a chance to kind of get your feet wet. It's not like if you're opening with Miami and this guy gets here, has a week, and you have to throw him out there to play against the players on that team. So Menza and those cats. So it's kind of a good opportunity, I think. So Ethan Johnson coming to South Carolina as a late addition to the 2026 football roster. Hats off to Wes Mitchell for breaking the news from Gamecock Central. Also, Wes will be on the show or the morning show this morning. And Mike Morgan will join us too. And that will be the guest list for today. Jamie Bradford will be the first hour, and then I'm going to take over for the next two, just because Bradford's a little under the weather today, but he's going to power through. So you can check that out at 10. Also, the late night Gamecock show last night with Rob Williams and Matt Anderson. Check that out. Really good episode of that. And thank you for tuning in and listening. We appreciate all that. All right. So the scrimmage this past weekend. So this scrimmage seemed a little bit more feedback wise, like most first scrimmages. The defense won the day, as we've all known, and they responded. My understanding is they responded bigly in practice last week. And this bunch is they've got really good players on that side of the ball. I mean, you think about Bakari Swain and Fred Johnson and Justin Okoronkwo and Tomiwa Adorijaye and the ever ascending behind the scenes Gabriel Brownlow Dindy. He's been really good since the spring. And then, sometimes players will have a good spring and then they come back and you're like, well, they had a good spring. But now that it's fall, everybody else tries a little harder. I guess that's been the way it is in the past. But he's continued to really look good. You got Caleb Herring out there. Anthony Addison has come in to his own. I don't know if you guys saw go check out the picture on the Big Spur. At the Big Spur on 3 on X. I had no idea that dude's arms were that big. That's unbelievable. That picture was unbelievable. I spotted it, but and we put it up. But Anthony Addison, you got some good players, is my point. Peyton Williams is a veteran. Jazavian Currents had a really good scrimmage again. He's pushing. It's probably it's probably something where at some point David Busey will probably have to elevate a little bit to keep him from passing him. I don't want to sit here and, make it a foregone conclusion or say it's just a matter of time. It may very well be, but you got to respect players. What happens if what happens? Jazavian Currents steps his, has a toe t turf toe or something, like has to miss a game if he does win the starting job. David Busey's gonna have to go out there and play. So it's important that everybody's good and competing and all that good stuff. But Currents did. I mean, I was told really some freaky kind of stuff at times. But at safety, you can be freaky all you want, but if you don't know your assignments and stuff like that. And I'm not saying Currents does not. He's a very advanced football player, always has been, and a quick learner. But that's it. That's still important. It's not just, oh, this is the biggest freak. Let's throw him out here and let's rock and roll. But the feedback on him has been very good as well. The whole freshman class, really, by and large, Shane Beamer is right. It's not just coach speak when he talks about how this is a group that's very businesslike and mature. and all that. And it is. I mean, it's a heck of a it's a small freshman class, but it's a good freshman class. And then, you even got guys like Landon Duckworth, who has been, for a freshman quarterback, very impressive and become he's assimilated with the team quite well. People love him, and all that. It's doing well, learning everything about college football like a lot of young quarterbacks should do. And then Zion Giles from Carver's Bay, who's an offensive lineman who's probably a year away, but he's fit in. And then you got a guy like Neff Jiwa, who you added late, who it may take 3 years, but that dude's a freaky athlete. So you've even got guys that are in this freshman class that are young, that won't play or maybe just play special teams this year, that are also promising, that also have had good signs in practice. And then that's not even talking about the Julian Walkers or the Noah Clarks or Sequel Patterson, who, by the way, had a really good scrimmage. he's coming into his own. He's going to play, and I don't. I'm. Let's just say I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I don't want to get too far into the weeds with him, just because there's a lot of competition at receivers. A lot of good receivers. Freshmen hit walls too. Freshmen make mistakes. And any little thing in this, I guess, any little thing that happens in this competition in the receiver room is going to matter, as far as getting on the field or not getting on the field. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how the Sequel Patterson snaps are divvied up and all that. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he had a heck of a scrimmage from what I'm told. So that was kind of a storyline, Saturday night on both sides of the ball. This handful of guys that are freshmen playing well. And it's not that South Carolina, I mean, I just mentioned Patterson. Well, Donovan Murphy and Nitro Tuggle and these guys like Cyrus, Malik Clark. They're all good players, so it's not like these guys are pushing for playing time out of necessity. I mean, one of them is Noah Clarke, the tackle next to receivers, the deepest position group on the roster. And Aiden Harris, the other defensive tackle they signed out of North Carolina last year, he flashed in the scrimmage. So Travion Robertson could go seven deep. So I don't know, man. This is I think it kind of flew under the radar because of the season Carolina had last year, but these guys are going to help this football team this year, and that's good. And a lot of times you'll have a really good team that's got a lot of veteran players on it, and then you'll see talented freshmen pop up. And I think one of the reasons for that is when you have a veteran team full of older guys, the freshmen kind of, you've heard that phrase, player-led leader, player-generated leadership. Player, they've become a coach on the field, that kind of stuff. That with older teams, the younger guys kind of look, okay, well, this is how it's done. Where, sometimes younger teams don't. I remember, I mean, Clemson, Dabo Swinney famously said, I think in 15 or 16, one of those really good teams he had, we're one of the youngest teams in the country. And you're like, oh, whatever. You've got Watson, you've got all these guys. Then you looked at it and you're like, yeah. I mean, they had younger guys all over the place playing, but they also had a core of veterans that knew how to win. A lot of those dudes are from South Carolina, by the way. So you've seen it around college football, and unlike a lot of years where you got a lot of talented freshmen and they have to play because they're your best, they're your absolute, you would have a serious drop off if you played the other guy. This is just a matter of the freshmen coming in and being so talented that they could overtake or take snaps from, in a rotational situation, some of the older guys. But the defense got after it in the scrimmage, pretty good. I would say that they, based on everything, they won the day. That's been the phrase. They won the day, and they've responded. Last week in practice, they, according to some folks, defense got the best of them. You know, one thing I was told too that's sort of interesting is that having to play and practice against a tempo offense has really helped the operation of the defense, which is always run smooth and quick. There's been tons of operational issues on offense. Defense has been line up and spot the ball, right? That's their motto. But it's helped them dial in. And I think, with Mississippi State and Tennessee on the schedule this year, and then you never know, you may run into an Auburn or an LSU or an Ole Miss down the road. You just never know. You never know. And I think Clemson's also going to, with Chad Morris, I think they're probably going back to more of a faster attack. So, yeah, that prepares you for it. It's good. It's good to face that in practice, I think. And when you got a lot of talented guys, they end up getting used to that. And there's no surprises. There's no like, well, because what a tempo type of offense, it's kind of an equalizer, because no matter how good you are, if you can't get lined up and the other team's executing, you're out of position. It's going to be an advantage for the other team. Now, does it work 100% of the time? No, because if it did, everybody would do it all the time. It's not something. I mean, Tennessee runs a similar style. They've had games they have not scored. It's not, Kendall Briles at Arkansas, one of their better teams offensively in 21, went to Georgia, and I had Georgia defense was really good. And got shut out 37-0. They didn't turn the ball over the whole game. They just got shut out. So it's not 100%, but you do want to prepare for different styles and all that good stuff. So that's what I've heard. The defense is kind of locked in, and the defense has benefited from having to play the Carolina offense. You couldn't always say that, I think, in some of the practices and all that. Lenore Sellers continues to look good. Here's a key for you this season, because we've talked in. Here 13 days, 12 days. 13 was yesterday. 12 days before kickoff. We've talked a ton about how this Briles system is a godsend. And I want to say this, it is. No question about it. It makes perfect sense for a quarterback like Sellers. Most coaches will tell you that their opinion is the same. If you read some anonymous coach quotes on ESPN a couple of weeks ago, they're all like, yeah, he struggled, but Kendall, but Kendall, but Kendall. And it's, it's got to be tough. I mean, this guy's 6'3", a shade under 240 pounds, ran 22 miles an hour on the GPS. That's insane. So, yeah, it's got to scare you. Plus, he's one of the best breakers of tackles in college football. You can't tackle him. But I'll say this, there's a lot to quarterbacking, even in this system. I mean, I think we've made it sound like it's just football for dummies, and he's going to go out there and automatically execute. You still have to execute. You still have to, and it still comes down to decision making. I mean, we've talked a lot about RPOs. Well, RPOs are based on quarterback decision making. So I think outside of staying injury free at several positions, I mean, there's some like wide receiver, I think. Jaden Sellers would have been great to have. Jaden Gibson would have been great to have. Those two are losses in different ways, no question about it. And, it's not a good thing. But there's players you look around in that room and you go, okay, you can replace those guys, that kind of thing. There's certain positions you can't. And I think that's the one of the going to be one of the biggest keys to the season. Injuries happen. They're unfortunate. Guys miss time. Sometimes guys come back and they're not the same. And in the SEC, someone said one time it's a war of attrition. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. There's the non-conference game thing this year, but as far as Carolina's concerned, don't listen to it. Oh, now they got to play nine conference games. Well, holy crap. Jeez, I wish they had an easy one like Miami. I wish that Miami game was back on the schedule, and maybe it is with the way the Canes blow it, But I mean, yeah, no, yeah, I wish we didn't have Arkansas. God, I wish Mississippi. I don't want to say anything about Mississippi State. Jeez, why do why, you know we shouldn't have to play Arkansas or Kentucky. We you know that's tough. We at Miami game though, we need it. We needed a breather in the opener, right? So I'm not buying the non-SEC game crap right now for this team. Now, other teams, yeah, that's a little tougher than it normally is because their one Power Four was usually like a like I remember like Ole Miss played Wake Forest or and not a good Wake Forest or Washington State. I think Missouri is playing Kansas now, but it would usually be, you know, there's some teams out there that don't have an in-state rival that's out of conference that, you know, all four non-cons would be heavily favored games. Not Carolina, though. And then Carolina added another one with Miami. So, you know, that I don't know that the nine-game schedule, you know, is a factor because they were gonna, if it hadn't been for the nine game schedule, the opener was gonna be a battle royale against the top 10 team. But injuries do happen, even in the eight game schedule, injuries happen. So it's a war of attrition. So you got to stay healthy. Outside of staying healthy, I think the number one key to the season is going to be Lenore Sellers' decision making. That's been pretty good in the scrimmages, but. You know, in this system, I want to be clear, you still have to make good decisions. And I think he'll get there. But we, you know, we'll see. You don't know it until you know it. And I think Lenoris has made better decisions than maybe people think. But there's a lot of room for improvement there. And then the idea with the scheme isn't so much that it's to kind of free him up and allow him to naturally kind of make those decisions. And so you hope that that's going to help, but you know, he still has to go do it. You know, he still has to go do it. So I want to be clear about that. And he was pretty good the other night, you know, really pretty good the other night. Had a nice, threw a nice deep ball, all that good stuff. I think this offense is going to stretch the field vertically and I don't think the deep ball is going away. I don't think it's going to be the best play on the offense this year, or it may be. But I don't think it's going to be the whole offense this season. But DJ Black, another great scrimmage. I think, you know, him and Murph and Tuggle are battling it out. I would probably, let's just say, barring something unforeseen, DJ's probably going to start. He's just been too good. So you got two really fast, bigger guys on the outside of this offense now. So, you know, you look at it, and I think that there's a lot to like about it so far, offensively and defensively. It seems like a new day on offense, and but the defense, as we've come to expect around here from a Clayton White coach defense, has responded. They always respond, it seems, and done well. One more note, you know, Quasheed Scott, the transfer from Kentucky at nickel, he's had a really good camp. He's coming into his own. An article coming out on thebigspur.com about him as the next PD baller. Small town PD ballers, man. Those are maybe my favorite recruits in the state of South Carolina. And Carolina's had a lot of them. He's from Marion, of course, but I heard he's just bringing a lot of physicality and run support and things like that. So. Looking forward to him, and I believe, you know, depth chart wise, he's probably going to win the job at nickel. Gerald Kilgore was a favorite coming in, and Gerald's had a really good camp too. And I suppose it could still be close. You never know with Torian Gray and those guys; they're just gonna they'll do the unexpected. But Quasheed has had a very, I mean, it's been much. Like he was good in the spring, but now he's like kind of taking it up a notch. Which that's what competition does, man. That's what competition does. That's why you recruit, and that's why, you know, depth is important because of competition in practice. And I know you're probably going to ask about the offensive line. I think they were solid. They were solid. The defensive line, when you got to block some of these guys, it can be a hard day sometimes. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they lined up and everything was hunky dory. It never is on the offensive line, but they feel good about it. They feel good about it. They feel good about the O line having a chance. Jacarius Peake is probably going to be back by Mississippi State. We've been kind of hinting about that and talking about it, but I think that will obviously, anytime you get one of the better tackles in college football, it's going to help your whole line. So we'll see what happens there. I know nobody wants to hear us talk about how, oh, they're going to be so great, before they played a snap. But it's a new group. They had nothing to do with the failures of previous years. Neither do the two coaches. Neither does the offensive coordinator. The head coach does not coach offensive line. So I think there's reasons to give these guys a chance and not cling to the failures of previous years around here. But they have to go do it, right? They have to go do it. So we'll see. But that's kind of the scrimmage, Defense, freshman, big plays. It's important for Lenore Sellers to make good decisions. Quasheed Scott. That's kind of it in a nutshell. Be sure to check out. You could have read a little bit of that and then much, much more on the scrimmage on thebigspur.com. If you remember, we're still running that special on threes, loving it. $29.95. And you're not going to pay again till we're talking about Landon Duckworth next offseason. So check that out. Just go to thebigspur.com or gamecockcentral.com or on three. And you pay today, $29.95. It comes out to $2.49 a month. And folks, it's like I said, a very eventful year, one way or the other, for all the men's sports at South Carolina. All the scoop, all the portal movement in the offseason. On threes, Pete Nakos actually was part of that Ethan Johnson news. They're the best newsbreakers in college football. So if we're not getting it, they're probably going to get it. If you want news and inside information and all that good stuff, check it out. Come post on our message board. We need many of you fine folks that love to post on message boards to come be a part of our wonderful community there at thebigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com, the Insiders Forum. All right, I'll see you guys on the morning show and the show. It's been JC Sherbert's Coffee. I'm out. Holla.